afternoon, everybody. This is John Rockwell. I'd like to welcome you to the March 3rd Alaska Land Mobile Radio User Council meeting. We could begin by calling roll. Sherry, are we ready to call roll?
Yes. On the phone myself, Sherry Schaefer, Tech Sergeant James Angel, Mr. Sam Young, Mr. John Rockwell, Mr. Chris Martin, Mr. Jacob Butcher, Mr. Greg Eubank, Officer Mike Lawton, Mr. John Kuna, Mr. Jim Goodman, Mr. Henry Cole, Mr. Chris Letterman, Mr. Tim Woodall, Mr. Nate Skinner, Mr. Bruce Richter, Chief Bob Chicarella, Mr. Tim Thomas, Mr. Dave Jones, Mr. Scott Nelson, Mr. Paolo Calderon. Is there anybody else on the line whose name I have not called?
Sherry, this is David Reed.
Thank you, David. Anybody else?
Scott Stormo.
Thank you, Scott. Anybody else? Okay, as a reminder, please keep your lines muted unless you're actively in the conversation. Thank you.
Sherry, thank you so very much. At this time, I would like to review and approve the February meeting minutes. Hopefully everybody got a chance to read through the minutes. Are there any additions, changes, comments at this time? Hearing none, I entertain a motion to approve.
This is Henry Cole. I move to approve the minutes from last month.
Thank you, Mr. Cole. Second, please.
Sergeant Angel.
Thank you, Sergeant. Any further comments regarding the minutes for the month of February? Hearing none, deem them approved. Moving on to the next agenda item is a review of the issues and risk log. Sherry, could you go over any issues or risks that we have updated?
Yes, there were no updates from the last meeting.
Thank you very much. And the action item list, Sherry, could you also review the action item list?
Yes, we still have one open action item from the December 2nd meeting, and that is the user council to develop a transition policy regarding the timeline for replacement of non-TDMA radios after the lifecycle briefing to the EC. And that will be on hold pending the completion of the TDMA install.
Excellent. Thank you so very much, Sherry. Moving on to the next agenda item is the Operations Management Office overview. Mr. Letterman.
Good afternoon, everyone. So my comments, I've got just a couple of things on the interoperability zone and talk groups topic. We also have a guest with us today that we're going to be giving the floor to for just a second or two. To talk about the some thoughts and an idea. So I guess the first thing that I want to reiterate is we did do, and Travis kind of might actually speak a little bit more to this, after the interop changes went into effect in January when we pushed those to the dispatch consoles, we were we gave folks 90 days and established a patch. I just want to make sure that everyone that's on the user council take this back to your areas and make sure that folks know that patch will be going down on April the 20th. That'll be 90 days from January when we put that change into play. I don't know, Scott or Travis, do you have something you want to say now?
Yeah, we can. It's just the patch that we have in place is the new central interop channels. It's the HAIL channel and then the central 2, 3, and 4. And they are patched over to the old E region. So and it's the region E, HAIL, and then channels 2, 3, and 4, so they match straight across. But yeah, we kept those in place just to give them a little bit more time to program the radios to the new central, north, and southeast regions of the interop. So, but yeah, like Chris was saying, we gave everybody 90 days from when we originally made the changes. That's all I got, Chris.
Okay. Thanks, Travis. Are there any questions on that before we go forward? Okay. I mentioned that we have a guest with us today, Mr. Jacob Butcher from MatCom. He reached out to me over email a couple of weeks ago, actually, now, I think, and just kind of had an idea and a thought about the Central Dispatch region. And I just, Jacob, you want to speak to that, your thoughts and your idea?
Yeah, my main concern was just who is going to be monitoring the central call channel amongst the South Central Dispatch Centers, as well as the dishing out of tactical channels, as there could be multiple agency responses between Girdwood, Whittier, Anchorage Fire, and the Mat-Su agencies, and taking the tactical channels from the central to disseminate those to make sure they weren't in use. It's been discussed at a recent interoperable communication meeting that we had between the Mat-Su Borough, Anchorage, and Chugiak recently, as far as dispatch monitoring those. So it may be something that could be worked out between the local level agencies. That was about the gist of it, though.
Okay. Are there any thoughts or comments on what Jacob just said?
Chris, this is John Rockwell. I just want to thank Jacob for taking a proactive approach to this. I know that when we make changes, we don't look at all aspects of the change itself. We all feel that we have the right direction at heart, and sometimes some things come up that we go, oh, yeah, that does need to be looked at a little bit stronger. And so, Jacob, thank you for reaching out to Chris and taking the bulls by the horn and coordinating with the other central dispatch centers.
Okay.
This is Greg Eubank. I missed that meeting. I don't know what went on.
Greg, this is Scott. That meeting did not involve Homeland Security and Emergency Management.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and move on. My next bullet item there was the Aylmar logo contest. This was just sort of a reiteration to keep this up in the user council informed. The final design that the executive council voted on is with our design firm, and we hope to see a couple different iterations for the April executive council meeting. On the next bullet there, outreach, state agencies are kind of in my bullseye. Next outreach piece of calling and just checking in with folks. The coverage and site prioritization survey, this is something that we had been in. We put out a survey. Several folks got back to us, and we have a long list of areas that we know have current challenges, but are also sort of a priority for public safety across the state. And I've got a list here. I don't know if it's in the best interest to read through the list, but I would say that if anyone wants to see the survey information or kind of the raw data, either send a note to me or to Sherry, and we're happy to share that. John, what are your thoughts? You want me to read through? I've got a list of about 15 or 20.
Chris, no, I don't think that's necessary, but why don't you hit just the top three that you have? And sure. Then if someone wants to get the full list, they can contact you.
Okay. Yeah, the top three I've got: Nikiski. Second one is Toke Cutoff, Toke Highway, Taylor Highway towards Chicken. And then the third I have Parks Highway near Anderson.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate you reading that. And if anybody has any interest in the survey results and or just a list, please contact Chris, and I'm sure that he'll be happy to send it out to you.
Absolutely. Thanks, John. Next item is the annual inventory confirmation. Letters have gone out to all the agencies, so I would ask that as a user council representative that you're checking in with, you know, the agencies that you're representing and making sure that, you know, they A, received it, and B, are making the effort to get that back to us. To date, and Sherry, you can correct me if I'm wrong, we've received 55 responses.
We received one this morning, so we're up to 56, so almost at the 50% mark.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, next bullet is kind of an exciting one. You know, we've been trying to do some different things with training and really capitalize on this virtual environment that we have with Teams. We have a meeting with our trainer tomorrow, and two things to share. One is he actually has sort of framed out the next course. It looks like it's very comprehensive, however. So I think we're going to have a conversation about splitting that into two courses. One would be more or less an interoperability introduction course. And then the other one wouldn't necessarily be a course, as it would be kind of a, we're calling it a light tabletop or incident walkthrough. That should be something that would be very, I think it would be very, folks would be very interested in sitting through and seeing how interoperability is you know, supposed to be working. So that's the big announcement on training. Stay tuned. Like I said, we're meeting with the trainer tomorrow to sort of expand on those ideas. The OMO was busy in February. We reviewed the business case. The SMO, or the Systems Management Office, actually did some of the work this time with their customer support plan. That new version was posted yesterday. And then the strategic and operational plan was also reviewed by the OMO, and that revision is out on the website too. For the February system metrics, I've got a group calls at 1,055,505. That's a decrease of about 7,500 from the January metrics. On the push to talk side, we had 1,937,114. That's we're down about 35,000 from the January metrics. On the case of busies, we had 261, and that's 16 more than we had in January. On the subscriber count, we gained about 125 subscribers, and now we're at 23,272. And again, another plug. I'm going to kind of play the Bob Barker end of The Price of Right, where he's always talking about spaying and neutering animals. I'm going to tell you, as you're adding new radios, please call the help desk and take your old radios off, because it doesn't make any sense to just keep adding radios and adding radios. And we have radios that, you know, probably are in boxes underneath people's desks or on closets somewhere. So please do, as you bring on new equipment, reach out to the help desk and get your old stuff off. And then the last and final thing that I have for the February system metrics report is our January sites that were under the 99.9% availability. You remember last time we had the report from December and we had quite a few sites on that report. This time, I'm happy to say we only had 4 sites. The sites were Haines, Pillar Mountain, Sitka, and Woman's Bay. And we're still working on, I guess I would say, a finalized version of what's going to appear in the user council packet going forward, whether that would be a slide or just kind of a textual report. But that's pretty much all I have, John. Back to you.
Chris, thank you so very much for the update. Are there any questions for Chris?
Where's this report? I don't see it in the attachment on the agenda notice.
Greg, yeah. I'm sorry, Chris, you may answer that question.
Yeah, I was just going to reiterate that the final version of how we share this report has not been determined yet. So at this point, I've just been verbally sharing the information in January or in February. And we're a month behind, so it takes, you know, so these, what I just shared is only from the January time frame. It takes a little while to get this report out, and yeah, so there you go. So it's not in your packet, Greg, and you know, look forward to, and when we do, I'm intending that I would say comprehensive, but that's not the word I'm looking for. It will include, you know, the previous month's report, so it'll be added to each month.
Did that answer your question, Greg?
Yes, I thought you'd said anyway, but yes, thank you.
Okay, and Chris, thank you. Are there any other questions for Chris? Hearing none, we'll move on to the next bullet item on the agenda, which is the System Management Office. Mr. Conlett.
Thanks, John. I just got a couple things here. The Ted Stevens airport site, it's a 3-channel site right by the airport here in Anchorage, but we've been looking at if that site's actually needed because of all the other sites and the extended coverage in that area. So just almost a year ago, we went ahead and turned down that site. Everything's left in place, but we just went ahead and turned it down at the system level just so we could monitor it to see if there was any issues or if anybody had any issues with that site being turned down like that. So everything's been going good this year. We haven't had any issues. So that is going to the Executive Council in their next meeting and to see if they okay for decommissioning that site. The reason behind turning that one down is just a site that's not needed here in Anchorage, and we might be able to use those resources somewhere else where we have some coverage issues that we want to add a new site to. But we'll find out after the Executive Council and that site. We'll let everybody know, but that site's more than likely going to be decommissioned. The other thing we've been doing, the same kind of deal, is we're looking at sites that we have too many resources and where we could take those resources somewhere else that's needed. Fire Station 12 is currently a 10-channel site. About a month and a half ago, we turned down 4 channels just to monitor that to see if there's any impact. We've seen none. There's been no busies at that site. So with this GTR upgrade, we're looking at going from a 10-channel to a 6-channel with TDMA. and then we could take those channels and move them somewhere else that's needed. The other site that we're doing the same thing to is Bailey Hill out in the valley. It's a 7-channel site, and we've turned down one channel there to make it a 6-channel site with the same kind of we have had no busies there either for the last month and a half, but we're going to continue to monitor those, and then we'll make a decision down the road if that's the way we're going to go. And as always, we'll keep everybody posted. The other thing is the GTR upgrade. We're looking to get kicking off again here March 15th. Motorola is going to send a couple STs up, and we'll start finishing the master site upgrades and then moving out to do the GTR installs. They've kind of had a little pause here lately. The last time there's been STs here was in December. So looking forward to getting that ramped up again and starting to replace those GTRs. And that's all I have, John, unless anybody has any questions for me.
Travis, thank you so very much. Are there any questions for Travis? May we move on to the State of Alaska and Department of Defense overview. Mr. Stormo, we'll start with you.
I don't have much to add technical-wise. I think Travis kind of covered what's going on with the ALMR GTR / system upgrade project. I will just restate something that we've talked about before. We've been going through a lot of vacancies and a lot of retirements and turnover. So if anybody knows of people that would be interested in being a technician at the State of Alaska, feel free to put them in touch with me, because I expect we're going to have more openings coming up over the summer. That is all I have, unless anybody's got any questions.
Any questions for Scott? Moving on, Mr. Tim Woodall, update from DOD.
John, I don't have anything for the group unless there's any questions.
Are there any questions for Tim at this time? Hearing none, the next agenda item is new business. If I may start, just to give a little bit of information under new business, would be we're moving to update the, we call it the SCIP, the State Communication Interoperability Plan. We had the first meeting today with a group of individuals on governance. The next meeting will be on the 17th regarding technology. We'll have a meeting on the 31st of the month regarding funding. And then I believe the following week, which is at the 6th or 7th, we'll try to wrap up the SCIP processing. The meeting went real well. I appreciate everybody that was involved. We came up with 3 major goals for it, and each one of the goals had a few action items. And we'll be assigning those action items to the appropriate individuals with the timetable. Our hope is that our SCIP has a 3-year turnaround. We'll update it every year, but we'll try not to put any stretch goals that are out past 3 years. Are there any questions regarding the SCIP process or updates? Is there anybody that was not in the meeting that would like to be involved in either the technology section or the funding section or the final SCIP? Please contact me, and I will make sure that you're added to the meeting itself. The other action item or informational item I have is regarding I was going to say volunteering, but it was it's more than that, of what we're calling the Deputy SWIC, the state statewide interoperability coordinator. And I am pleased to announce that Nate Skinner has been voluntold, along with a lot of enthusiasm to be named the Deputy SWCC for the state of Alaska. I'm extremely encouraged. He has brings to the table a lot of knowledge. He's been involved with most of the changes in the past, and I can't think of another person I would like to be working with on a lot of these interoperability projects. So, Nate, if you would like to say anything, this is your chance.
I think just thank you again, and I appreciate the opportunity to serve.
Well, excellent. I will, at this time, open up the floor for any other new business.
This is Sergeant Angel with Elmendorf. I have, we've been in contact with a company by the name of Systems Definition Incorporated. The individual we've been in contact with is Frank Breezy. And he would like to demonstrate a service that his team has been working on. And I will just give a brief quote. SDI has been participating in an AFRL Phase 2 SBIR called Enhanced Personnel Accountability for Responders, or EPR, in which we are doing integration to pull the features of the SDI Commercial Personnel Accountability Solution. Essentially, what they're doing is they're taking a laptop, hooking it up to a subscriber unit, and they're using that as on-site command and control. And they can do, like, send out a, accountability. So they could push an accountability command through the radio that's hooked up to the laptop, and all these subscriber units would have to do is push the push talk, and that is a, it would tell you who is actually receiving that message, and for on-site fire control would be very useful. Their primary demographic that they're trying to push towards is military and other DOD. But they said they would have the potential to pull in civilian if there was a sponsor. They would like to install a piece of equipment to use JBear as a test bed.
So as far as the piece of equipment, would that be just connected to a radio, or is that
That would be connected
integrated.
In the back end.
Okay.
Connected. It would be integrated into the back end.
Thank you.
I told them that I would ask the council if he could be invited to the April 7th meeting so that he could give his spiel in more in-depth than I can.
So at this time, I'd like to open up to the group, if the group is interested in having some type of a demonstration of the technology or an explanation of the technology. And then, of course, there is a review process for integration of any sort into the system if it's in internal. So I open it up to the floor. Any comments or questions at this point?
This is Sherry. Could you send all that information over so we can get it to David Reed on that equipment and what they're talking about? Because he would have to review that from a security perspective.
Right. This is David Reed. We're also, this is just going to have to go through the standard system change request process anyway, but the actual having them show up and do a demonstration, we don't really have to do much on that for it.
Thank you, David, to bifurcate the two discussions. And yes, we do agree that it has to go through a review process, and the system security checks to be implemented. At this point, I'm opening up the floor to see if anybody's interested in having a vendor, describe, explain, demo what we're talking about. If I get enough basic show of hands that say, yeah, I'd be interested, then I would recommend that we I don't know, Sheriff, if we need to add it to the agenda. I think it just needs to be sponsored. I don't think we need to have a motion and approval, but before I even go there, I'd like to see if we have enough individuals that would be interested in seeing something like this.
This is Henry Cole. I think that could be educational and informative, if nothing else.
Thank you, Henry.
This is Mike Lawton. We'd be interested in hearing about it.
Okay, good, good. I'm hearing some positive comments. Let's turn this around. Is there anybody that thinks that this is not the right forum for having a vendor present technology, as long as we talk about it first, of course? I will not encourage just anybody to invite a piece of technology to be on the agenda. So I thank you for the manner that you're bringing this up to the table, sir. Is there anybody that would be against it?
John, this is Scott. Just a side comment. I looked them up while you guys were talking about it. It is listed. It's Motorola Solutions. It's listed on their website as their trusted partner, whatever you would call it. But so it sounds like it may be. We've had it demonstrated at like an MTUG meeting last winter. So this may have been the product that was demoed out there. So I don't know. It wasn't on the system, I don't think, at that time. I think it was probably just some demo that they had. So there's, even if it's difficult to get a demo showing it on the system, I think if this is the same product, they do have a capability of showing it to us.
Scott, thank you very much. Also, I see Greg's hand up.
Well, you said raise your hand if you're interested. That was going to be one of my questions. Is this related to or comparable to the Motorola Personnel Accountability System, which is a very, very good system?
Well, thank you very much, Greg. And Paolo?
Hi, this is Paolo with Motorola. That's exactly what this is. We had a larger presentation at IMSC earlier this month, and we work with Frank quite a bit. So just to rest assured there, it's a tried and true solution. I think it would be good for fire and whoever else might be interested. Even there's a police application for it as well. So we can send you some pre-detail on it if everyone's interested. But I can contact Frank and see what he's planning to share.
Excellent, excellent.
One question. This is David Reed. Do you know if this solution is in use on any other federal networks?
I'd have to dig around. I don't know the answer, David. I'm not going to just speak off the top of my head, so I'll have to research that for you.
David, this is Sergeant Angel speaking. From what he was saying, they were trying to work with CONUS right now.
Right.
And they're trying to get that set up as their primary test bed. Right now, the only thing that they have been able to do is local. And they've not been able to do anything working with Trunked.
Yes, one of my customers, Travis Air Force Base in California, has an M3 core with about 17 bases connected to it. So that's going to be potentially one of the initial tests.
Well, perfect. Sherry, we don't, or do we need any type of a vote to put it on the agenda for the following month?
No, we could just put it under new business.
Well, excellent, excellent. So, Angel, if you would contact Sherry and send her the details, we'd be happy to entertain a discussion on the product. So, thank you. Any other new business?
Chairman, Bruce Richter would like to share some items of info if it's appropriate.
Bruce, thank you very much. I give you the floor.
So first of all, I want to say thank you to everybody that participated in the survey that was pushed out related to the skip update process. We had over 76 people respond, and about half of them were ELMR user council members, but the other half came from all over the state. So thank you for that participation, and the info that you provided will kind of give us a roll-up when we have that final skip workshop on April 14th, but it's informing the goal development as we move forward. Two things that aren't really ALMR specific, but I don't know where else you would get this information. Verizon just this week announced that they are waiving all of the fees that they used to have for wireless priority service. They used to have kind of a mix where some agencies got charged and some didn't. Now it is waived for anybody. So if that was an obstacle to anybody adopting wireless priority service, please talk to me and we'll get you set up. Also, I have a DHS iPhone that is a FirstNet-equipped device, and I was able to successfully implement a dual SIM on that phone where when I'm in better coverage for Verizon will work on it, and when I'm in better coverage for FirstNet works on it. And so that capability does exist, and it wasn't as painful as I thought, but I'll be happy to discuss that further with anybody that's interested. And finally, DHS CISA came out with three documents that I think are relevant. And Sherry, I'll send you citations to these so you can include them in the minutes. But basically, the 2021 version of the SAFECOM grant guidance just got released. And that's relevant to anybody that applies for any DHS grant related to communications equipment in the boilerplate on your grant. You're certifying your going to be compliant both with your state's skip and with the SAFECOM grant guidance. CISA also released their new 2021 technical assistance catalog, and I'll get that link out to you, Sherry. But we offer a number of things that individual agencies can request working through the SWIC that might be of benefit. And finally, for those of you that are either having problems with citizens flying unmanned aerial systems around and it's causing an issue, or for agencies that have adopted that as part of their program, we have now just released an unmanned aerial systems guide that is a collection of resources and best practices and where to go if you have an issue or if you need enforcement. And that is it for me, pending any questions.
Bruce, thank you very much for the update. Are there any questions for Bruce?
Greg, assuming there's no added charges for the dual SIM, is that correct? You know,
no, I don't pay my bill personally because it's a DHS phone, but you're paying for two carriers. It's just two carriers can operate off one device, which is kind of a unique capability.
Yeah, just a seamless roaming agreement.
Yeah, it's a little more technical than that, but essentially it will work in one device.
Thank you, Bruce. Are there any other questions for Bruce? Hearing none. Any other new business? How about comments for the good of the order? Is there anybody that would like to make a comment regarding any topic at hand or anything that's coming up?
Oh, this is Greg Eubank. We are long overdue scheduling an Alaska MTUG meeting where we need to have a election of officers. It's been about 15 years in the making, and just want to bring that up as a potential topic for discussion for planning.
Thank you, Greg. And since you're the current MTUG president, I will rely on you to schedule whatever it needs to be to kind of move that forward.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Any comments, suggestions, or new business topics? I'd like to thank everybody for joining us today. The next meetings are currently scheduled for April 7th and May 5th. At this time, I'd entertain a movement to adjourn.
Dave Jones makes a motion to adjourn.
Thank you, sir. And a second?
This is Henry Cole, I'll second.
Thank you, Chief Cole. At this time, we are adjourned.